Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. If you'd like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning, still to come on the program about an hour from now from News Talk 93.1 up in Montgomery, April Marie Fogle from the National Center of on Exploitation Law Center there. Danny Painter will join us, a case being heard in Northern District of Alabama. We'll talk to her about that. Then we'll wrap it up with our returning champion every Friday. You can hear from State Senator Chris Elliott. That's at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, I'm very pleased to bring on my next guest. Hails from Jefferson County, former City of Birmingham police officer, State Representative Alan Treadway on with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing good.
Thank you for making time. We always appreciate it. Back in the news is your riot legislation. We talked about it last year, had you on probably about a year ago. But this time the bill has made it out of committee, and looks like you faced a filibuster from Democrats, so the bill got shelved. But to kind of give us a rundown where it stands right now.
Sure. So the bill was up on the House floor Wednesday, but we didn't get started to late in the afternoon at about approximately 3:45. And there were several bills before it. So the Democrats started filibustering in order to not get to the bill. So leadership and myself made a decision. Let's go ahead and carry it over and bring it up first thing next week. And that's what I expect to happen.
Well, let's talk about the bill itself. I think this is an important bill, and it's a head-scratcher why Democrats are so vehemently opposed to it. But walk us through the bill, what it does, why it's important to have this in place.
Okay. So I don't know if you recall, but I retired a little over a year ago as the assistant police chief of the City of Birmingham. In 2020, during the summer riots that came to many of the cities in Alabama, I was on the front lines in Birmingham. And I don't know why the mainstream media don't want to report the facts, but the fact is that folks out of the approximately 70 people arrested, about two-thirds of them were not even from the community, and many of them from out of state. They came in and they hijacked what should have been or could have been a peaceful protest. That was not the case. The night before, we know this, they planted incendiary devices, gasoline, sledgehammers, and bricks in the shrubbery of the buildings downtown. Hell-bent on hijacking any type of peaceful protest, and set many buildings on fire and looted pawn shops, stole guns, and attempted to steal anything that they can get. But I think what we need to realize, we've seen this play out around the country. Folks are coming in. I've been on the front lines for over 31 years. I've been in protests from abortions, the issue of abortions, skinheads, Ku Klux Klans, you name it. But we've never seen what we're seeing now. So the laws on the books don't go far enough. You're shutting interstates down. Folks, we're trying to get ambulances to hospitals with critically injured folks. We cannot shut our interstates down. Obviously, I don't have to explain, we cannot burn buildings and start looting stores. That is not peaceful. Worked 31 years, there's nothing that I would want to do to suppress anybody's First Amendment. For peaceful protest, nothing. So worked very hard on the bill, worked with a lot of Democrats, took some antiquated definitions of riot. We've updated it. We have to do something to protect not only the police officers and public safety officers, the protesters and property. And that's what this bill is about. It's simply about law and order. And nothing in this bill suppresses anyone's rights. This bill doesn't even kick in until there's a curfew violation in place, which there was in Birmingham, that there's a lawful order to disperse, which we did multiple times. Then it breaks down and you start assaulting folks and you start burning and looting. And that's when this kicks in. So, yes, there's been a lot of demonization of law enforcement, as you know, over the years. And been on the front line seeing what happened. I knew, being in a position as a legislator, I cannot ignore it. I have to bring something to address the situation.
Well, one of the things that's come up throughout this debate, the definition of riot. that gets thrown around. It's a matter of interpretation or something like that. What does this do to that? Where do we get do we have a textbook definition of what a riot is in Alabama from this?
You know, we try to update the current riot definition, but, you know, the problem is that you can go from state to state. You know, it's really common sense. You've got your police officers out there. You want law and order or not. When they start looting, they start burning. You know, this argument that police officers just grab anybody that's standing around. I'll give you an example. What we did, we had undercovers in the crowd. We had bullhorns, and we were warning the crowd an hour ahead of time, every 10 minutes or so, all the way up to every 5 minutes. We had folks in the crowd that were verifying that they could hear it clearly, and we ordered them to disperse. And if they didn't, they were arrested. So they said, well, they wasn't doing anything. Well, we had a curfew in violation. You were in violation of the curfew. You had a lawful order to disperse. We gave you every opportunity. And he didn't move. And so some of the arguments comes, well, all I was doing was standing there. Now, we need to make a decision in this country. Are we going to be in compliance with the laws on the books and compliant with these lawful orders or not? And folks are dying. Jeff, I'm gonna show you something. I want to run something by you that I got from the FBI website. This came out in September of 21, so it's a few months back. It shows that there was, according to the FBI, 60,105 U.S. police officers assaulted in 2020. That's an increase of 7.2% increase from 2019. And over half of that increase is officers being assaulted during protests. Now, what part of that is peaceful? So, you know, we've taken sides on this. It's unfortunate. I'm not going to let the issue die. We got it out of the House last year, 75-24, I believe it was. I expect the same thing this year. I'm disappointed the Senate didn't take it up. I expect it to come out next week, and hopefully then at that point my job is to convince the Senate to take the bill up.
Now, you mentioned something here, and I think this is interesting, the blocking of the interstates. And I know this happened, I guess it was at Hoover, after that Galleria shooting, they tried to shut down. It was either 459 or 65. And that this is something that would prevent things like that, for those sort of disruptions. Because you see them all over the country. But I think a lot of people in Alabama, they would prefer that not be the case here.
Exactly. So we had state highways. This bill addresses state highways and the interstate. It doesn't address side streets or city streets. And the other side will want you to believe that this is what this involves. No, we have got to have these main thoroughways open for safety, to get folks in and out of the hospital for public safety. And it's dangerous as hell to be up on the interstate blocking it, as we've seen across the country. Yes, that happened here. It happened out on 280. It happened out in Hoover. And so this addresses that. The first time is a misdemeanor, but it's upon conviction, 30 days in jail, mandatory to serve. We have to send a strong message. Any subsequent violation of this law would be a felony. On that first offense, if injury, serious injuries caused to somebody, it will be a felony. The message is, don't shut our interstates down. If you want to protest, protest. And no problem with that. But I think everyone would agree that you cannot shut these interstates down and or these main thoroughways to get to the hospitals. So, you know, yes, we're trying to address that. And that was actually the legislators that represent the Hoover area came to me and needed something in the bill that can address that. You know, I don't know if a lot of folks know, but out of the approximately 70 people arrested, some months later, every single charge was dropped. Officers didn't even get their day in court. These buildings were burnt. They were looted. And so we're seeing something that the public, and I, you know, listen, I grew up in inner city and worked 31 years in inner city. These folks want more protection. They don't want less protection. So, you know, the few loud voices seem to be getting their way right now.
Well, tell me something. If you know, you see what's going on in Canada with these Freedom Convoy protests, would that be, that would be considered illegal under this law, correct?
If you're shutting down an interstate under this law, or a main throwaway, a state highway, it will be illegal. I don't care what the cause is. It would be illegal. Do not shut them down.
The other the other criticism here is it chills free speech. I don't know that I necessarily understand it, but talk us through that. Your opponents would say that this is just a way to scare away protests, scare away peaceful protest, and you're what you're trying to break through here, and I get it because the way the media sort of report it. Maybe not as honest as we would like, but that it doesn't necessarily do that. It just when you take it to some of these extreme elements that you got to have some kind of law and order mechanism.
Absolutely, and that's all this does, Jeff. I mean, listen, read the bill. I had some ministers come down in the committee meeting, and one of them referred to me as a modern-day Bull Connor. I mean, come on. The department in Birmingham that I've worked in, very diverse, 70% African-American, wonderful career ahead there, made a great relationship. So this is, you know, if they call you racist or a white supremacist or throw these things out there to try to get you to stop. The reason I bring that up, I asked the ministry the first time. One of them talked to me, came to my office afterwards. And I said, sir, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure. And I said, have you even read the bill? He paused and looked at me and said, he has not. I said, would you do me a favor? Circle back around with me next week. All I would ask you to do is read the bill and show me in this bill where any of that would suppress free speech it doesn't even kick in, Jeff, until you got to the point that you're already writing. But you go back to Birmingham. These folks came into the city. Now, who financed that? Who was the individual in the back of the jail with literally a bag of cash? Because they researched and they seen that the city of Birmingham had a $300 cash-only bond on these type of situations, these curfew violations and all that. But at the jail, they didn't have a single name of any protester, but they were demanding to bond out anyone and everyone that was associated with the protest of any charge. They were bonding them out, and they were circling back around and rejoining the protest while firefighters and police were trying to calm the situation. We had buildings on fire. So that's why in many states, 8 states have already passed this, most of them more severe than in my bill, and I don't have monuments. I don't have nothing in my bill. My bill deals with public safety only. And they circle back around and make a very dangerous situation even more dangerous. So what the bill does, it says, listen, we're going to hold you 24 hours. Most states are doing 48. 32 states are in the process of trying to pass legislation like this. They know how serious this is. But so the 24 hours being in law enforcement, you give me 24 hours, I got buildings on fire, I can get reinforcements in, we can get the fires put out. I don't need 48. So that was a compromise also. I moved from 48 to 24. So this was pre-planned. Nobody wants to talk about this. Why was there a bag of cash there getting everybody out before the riots even started? So we've got a serious situation we better wake up to in this country. And we can say, I can sit here and tell you who I think's doing it. But the fact is the laws on the books don't go far enough. We got to hold them longer. We got to have mandatory time to serve because why? We got judges dropping charges. We're trying to address that also. So, you know, the bill, I will challenge anybody to read the bill. You tell me where it suppresses somebody's First Amendment and I'll pull it out because that is not my intent here. But I'm not going to be swayed from my position by calling me names or telling me the bill somehow suppresses someone's rights. Because I've worked 31 years protecting those rights.
Joined by State Representative Alan Treadaway for here. Just a couple more minutes. Last question. This might be a little unfair because I'm asking you to speculate. But what is why have Democrats chosen this as a hill to die on? Do you think why are they? They're not even doesn't even and then maybe correct me if I'm wrong. It doesn't even seem that they're willing to. Maybe negotiate or try to find some kind of common ground on this, that this is this is a step too far in their opinion, and they're going to tie up all the business in the House to keep this bill from getting out. Now it's gonna make a comeback, but what do you think it is that gets them so triggered about this?
You know, Jeff, that is the most discouraging part. This partisan politics. You know, we no longer, it seems, even Washington and on local levels or state levels try to work with one another. We dig in. We demagogue these type of situations, bills like this. And I have done everything. I have worked with Democrats, and I knew I wasn't going to get a single vote. But I've sat down with them. I've adjusted the bill. I've listened to them, and I've got it to a point where I can protect property and more importantly, lives of everyone involved. And they're against it. And for the life of me, I truly don't know. I mean, because it does come to, and listen, it's just politics. It's detrimental to this country. It's not beneficial, but it is what it is. And we seem to be digging in. And I don't understand on something like law and order, crime. And then we got a crime wave in this country. Alabama's no exception. You look across the state. Our recruitment and retention efforts are hampered dramatically because of what's been going on in the media. How many folks, I'll give you an example, in Birmingham, they were able to start 10 officers in academy. 10. We try to go for 40 to 60. The last few classes haven't even got into the 20s. They're, I think, 8, 11, 13, somewhere in there. Each class, time they get them trained, they're losing three times that on the street. They're at critical shortages right now. And I predict it will get worse before it gets better. And then there'll be an outcry of law and order again and supporting law enforcement. You can't get folks that want this job, and you got folks leaving it, and you look across this country and you look across the state of Alabama, you'll see that. There's opportunities for officers to leave the bigger cities to go to the suburbs, and they're making more money and less headache. And I just think that's just not good for all of us. We have to have a society we live in. We have to support the law enforcement officers. When they are wrong, there's mechanisms in place to address that. We have to continue to have better training. But I've worked 31 years in the city of Birmingham, and our police officers in Birmingham have a good relationship with right. citizens. And I believe the Black Lives Matter chapter in Birmingham was going to be a very peaceful protest, and it was outsiders that came in and hijacked it, well-financed, well-organized, well planned, and folks better wake up to that part. And that's the part I'm trying to stop.
All right, Zinda, we got to leave it there. We're up against the break, but thank you so much for making time for us, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
State Representative Alan Treadway there from Jersey County. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.